Paritabo said, good morning. We dedicate our learning today as a Refuah Shalima from Moshe ben Sion ben Leah Rachel. And we begin, today's daf is Nun Ches. We're going to begin at the Mishnah on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. I know you did the Mishnah already. But you'll chop this up the Chazor, you'll become Bikim in the Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah, Ein Moded in Ella Bechavel Shal Nun Amma. You could only measure the tchum with a rope of 50 amos long. So we'll say what the Mishnah is doing over here is the Mishnah is standardizing the measurement of the tchum. As much as now, remember, interestingly enough, we already saw what happens in the event. Adam David, the Gemara is not there?
It's okay, we got
him. Okay. Remember again, we saw that what happens in the event that a person doesn't have an exact measurement for their tchum. So I already spoke about that a person could measure out their tchum with 2,000 steps. So obviously that's not the optimal measurement of tchum. We'd like precise measurements whenever possible. So in order to standardize the measurements, so Chazal wanted us to go ahead and measure the tchum, dafka with 50 amos rope. We'll see why 50 amos. Lo pachos v'lo yoser. One should not use a rope that's longer nor shorter. V'lo yimdod ela k'neged libo. And furthermore, when holding the rope, so you will say, obviously, it's very nice if the rope is 50 amos long. If one guy's holding it like this and one guy's holding it like this, then obviously the measurements will be skewed. So the Mishnah says when holding the rope, you have to hold it opposite your heart. And interestingly enough, if you look at Rashi over here, below Yimdor Ela Kineged Libo, so Rashi writes, Kavulu Chachamim Makom, Losun Kineged Rosho, Rosh Achevel, Shol Yitein Ze Kineged Savaro, Vize Kineged Raglov. We don't want one guy holding the rope by his neck and the second guy holding the rope by his feet. Because remember, if you do that, you'll end up with less than 2,000 amos. So we'll say, obviously, the Mishnah presupposes that the two people who are measuring the tchum are what? Are of similar size, right? Because obviously, if you have Og Melech Haboshen, right, and you have a nanos, you know, a dwarf, then obviously, again, that's not going to work. But assuming the two people are of similar size, then the Maisi, each of them hold it at the same approximate point on their body. If they're measuring the tchum, and they reach, a guy is a valley, or a geder is a fence, mavlio. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Mavlio, if you have the anyone have the picture books today? Picture books? All right. So we used to have extra ones. I don't know what happened to the extra ones. Okay, so this is picture 214. Picture 214. Actually, the truth is, it's actually picture 213 first. So the Mishnah says over here, let's break this down. Higia legai o legeder. If you go ahead and you reach a valley. So what do you do in the valley? So we'll say, obviously, the valley is interesting because the valley has two parts. There's the floor of the valley, and there's also the walls of the valley. So now the shaila is, how do you measure a valley? Do you measure it as if going down across the bottom and then up again? In which case, of course, that's going to eat up an incredible amount of your tchum. So the Mishnah says, no, mavlio. Mavlio means we absorb the valley, which just means we just measure the distance of the floor of the valley, not taking into account the actual walls themselves. We'll see, there are certain exceptions to that. That's or the geder, or for the fact that if you get to a fence. So geder in this case really means a broken down wall, as we'll see. If you have a ruin, so again, you don't measure the slope up and down of the ruin, rather you just mavlio, you include, or literally you absorb just the space of the ruin itself. V'chozer lemidaso. Now chozer lemidaso means, and then you go back to going ahead and measuring in your normal way. So if you'll notice over here in picture 214, they have a picture over here of what chozer lemidaso means. So Rashi points out a fascinating idea. Let's say you're trying to measure the valley, but the area of the valley opposite the city is more than 50 amos wide. So obviously, if it's more than 50 amos wide, then what? You can't get across it. So what can you do? So if you look in the picture 214, what you would do is you would find a narrower part of the valley. But also what that would sometimes require you to do is go out of the line of your tchum. So what you have to do in this kind of case is you have to go out to where the valley gets narrow, you have to come across, and you have to keep track of how much distance you went out from your tchum line. And then you come back. Chozer lemidaso means you go out to span the valley, and then you come back to resume the line. Now remember, that going out is not included in your tchum measurement. The point the Mishnah is just saying is, you can go out in order to find the narrow part of the valley in order to measure across, and then come back and continue straight. So we're going to get to everything in the Gemara. Higia lahar, Higia lahar. If you go ahead and you reach a mountain, mavlio. Same thing. You absorb the mountain. You absorb the mountain in your tchum. Shabbos said once again, you don't include the slopes of the mountain in the tchum. Rather, again, you just go across the mountain as if it were flat area. The chozer lemidasa. Shabbos said chozer lemidasa always means the same caveat. That let's say there are circumstances where you can't measure across the particular area, so you're permitted to go ahead and move to the side, measure across, and then come back and resume your normal line of the tchum. And that movement out, of course, is not included in the tchum area at all, because you're only moving out in order to be able to span the particular area. So for example, if you can't go ahead and span over the mountain, you would move to the side of the mountain, measure the straight area across, and then come back essentially behind the mountain and continue measuring. V'choz l'midaso. Tap of nunches. U'bilvad, one caveat, shelo yetze chutz l'tchum. The one caveat is that when moving outside, when moving across, that's not the right word, when moving to the side of the particular, we'll call tchum obstacle, whether it is a valley or whether it is a mountain, you can move as far as you need to be able to traverse a more narrow area, but you can't measure outside of the tchum. So for example, let's say the valley is huge, and the valley itself extends 2,500 amos out. So you have to travel 2,500 amos in order to go ahead and get to a part of the valley that's less than 50 amos. That you can't do. We'll see why. That you can't do. This is talking about during the week, right? Not on Shabbos. During the week, you're measuring. Because remember, tchum measurements, you know, both say, up until now, we've always been speaking about reactive situations where you find yourself in a circumstance, and now on Shabbos, you have to figure out your tchum. Remember, in normal situations, let's say a city was figuring out its tchum on a Sunday. You don't wait until Shabbos. They used to put tchum markers, right? Ad kan, you know, whatever. At the end of the tchum, there was, you know, the Clara Barton tchum stop. You know, mamish, that's where you got to. That was it. That was the end of the tchum. So these were measured ahead of time. So the Gemara says, im eno yachol la'ablio, what happens if you can't absorb the tchum? Meaning, what happens in a situation where, let's say again, you can't absorb the length of the valley, the floor of the valley, or you can't absorb, I'm using the word absorb to mean span it, or you can't go ahead and absorb the mountain. So what do you do in that situation? So the Gemara says, Bizu Amar Rabbi Dostai Bar Yanai Mishum Rabbi Meir. So in this case, Rabbi Dostai Rabbi Yanai said the name of Rabbi Meir. Shamati, I've heard, Shemekhadrim Baharim. We'll say, what this literally means is, I've heard that we pierce the mountains. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Mekhadrin, Nokvin, Rowan Kilu Nokvin Oso, Umodid in Derechaneger. So we'll say, look at picture 215. So we will see over here that there is a circumstance that if for some reason you're unable to absorb it. Now we'll say, when would you be unable to absorb it? Let's say, for example, let's say going back to the previous case, let's say the only narrow area of the valley is more than 2,000 amos away from my present location. So we just said before that you can't go ahead and start measuring the tchum, what? Outside of the tchum, for reasons we'll see later on. So what do you do in that kind of circumstance? So the Gemara does something we call makdirin, literally piercing. So if you take a look at picture 215, I'm sure, does the article have a picture of this?
Yeah.
You have a picture of this. Okay, so very simply, I don't know if anybody could see this. But essentially, we'll see the entire process in the Gemara itself. But essentially, what's going to happen over here is you're going to measure the tchum area, including the slopes, with a series of, we'll see, four amma ropes. So now again, I can't get to the narrow part of, let's say, the valley, because it's outside of my tchum. So this is the way you would measure it with a series of four amma ropes. We'll discuss this process exactly. This is called piercing. So Rabbi said, we have two concepts mentioned in the Mishnah. One is havlah, one is absorbing the area. So absorbing the area just essentially means we ignore the slopes, and we essentially just measure the area as if it was straight. The second one is makdirin, piercing the area, where we can't ignore the slopes. The simple reason, let's say, because in order for me to get to a narrow area that's more than 2,000 amos from my present location, and I can't measure the tchum by going outside of the tchum, then we use this process called piercing. Okay. Says the Gemara. Minahani mili. Where do I know this from? What the Gemara is essentially asking is, where do I know that we use a rope of 50 amos? Rabbi say, what the Gemara actually seems to be asking for is there a pasuk that tells me that I use a rope of 50 amas? Now, of course, we passing like the idea that tchumin are derabanan. I say, obviously, all of this is rabbinic in nature. So the Gemara is not actually asking for a pasuk to tell me that you're supposed to measure the tchum of 50 with a rope of 50 amas. The Gemara is looking more for a remes. Right, the Gemara is looking for a scriptural allusion. Is it mentioned somewhere in the Torah? Is there some kind of allusion to this idea of a 50 amah rope? So the Gemara says, yes. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, the Amar Krah, the pasuk says, Orach ha-chotzer meya ba'amo, berochav chamishim be'chamishim. So the Torah says that the length of the chotzer, of the Mishkan, the length of the courtyard of the Mishkan, was 100 amos by 100 amos, and its width was 50 by 50. So the Gemara says, Amra Torah, Chevel Shel Chamishim Amah Medot. So the Gemara says, you see from here, that when measuring width, we go with the Shear of 50. Go with the Shear of 50, look at Rashi. No Rashi yet. So the Gemara says, 1 second, what does that do with anything? Haimi Boile, Litol Chamishim, Ula Savi Chamishim. Rabbi Osei, if you remember way back when, do you remember again, probably about 30 blot ago? Of course you remember. Right? Remember we learned that something called the Karfeif. Right, so Karfeif was this large area that had certain domicile-like properties, but was often used for storage. So remember again, what's the shear of a Karfeif? 70 2/3 amos. Right, where do we learn that shear from? So remember again, the Gemara learned that from the chutzer of the Mishkan, that you took the 50 amos square and you put a 50, you distributed then the other 50 amos around it, which gave you a square of 70 2/3. So Gemara says, we already use the shear of the Mishkan to teach us the shear of the Karfeif. To which the Gemara says, Im kein lema kra, if that's the case, let the pasuk say, Chamishim chamishim, my chamishim bichamishim, shamas mina tarti. Why does the Torah say chamishim bichamishim? Comes to teach us two halachas. So we'll say, remember, the Gemara is not looking for a real limud. Right? The Gemara is not looking for an explicit pasuk. The Gemara is looking for a hint, an allusion. It says, oh, so Chamishim Bechamishim comes to teach us two things. Number one, that when creating the dimensions of the Mishkan, we had a 100 amos length by 50 amos square, and we go ahead and we take another 50 amos and put it around the perimeter. That gives us the shear for a Karfeif. That's number one. And number two, it gives us this allusion to this idea that when measuring, we use a measurement of a 50 amos space. Therefore, measuring the tchum, we go ahead and we use a rope of 50 amos. Okay. All right. Gemara goes weiter. Tana, lo pachos lo yoser. So the Mishnah said, you can't use a rope that's more than 50 amos or that's less than 50 amos. Why not? So the Gemara says, Tana, lo pachos mipnei shemarbe. You can't go ahead and use a rope that's less than 50 amos. Why? Because ultimately, you will end up measuring more than 2,000 amos. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Mipnei shemarbe. Kishachevel katzer yochol lemoscho umarich hamida. With a smaller rope, you could stretch it. And I will say, because you're going to stretch it, you're going to end up measuring more than 2,000 amos. Below Yoser, you can't go ahead and use a rope that's more than 50 amos. Why? Because you will end up decreasing the tchum. Why? Because more than 50 amos, Rashi points out, shekovdo machpil umiskatsa bemtsiyusa. It sags. So because it sags, you're going to end up losing space in the measurement of your tchum. So 50 amos seems to be the magic number where the rope is taut enough that it won't stretch, so you won't end up giving more space to the tchum, but at the same time, it's not too long that it sags in the middle.
How do they measure the 50 amos? I mean, how do they know how long that is? That has to have something.
Yeah, they have a shear for an amma.
A specific shear.
Correct. An amma is made up of 6 tefachim. And they have a shear for a tefach. So these are all dealing with subjective. Remember, these are what we call amos of kodesh. So amos like those used in the Beis Hamikdash are made up of an objective tefach. Not everybody's using their own tefach. They're made up of objective tefachim. 100%. What we call amos kodesh or tefachim of kodesh, which are standard. Correct. Standardized tefachim, which make up standardized amos. Correct. Correct.
For standard lengths throughout the whole land.
Correct. For these purposes, again, I will say, as we've already seen, there are circumstances where they were using subjective tefachim, which would then lead to subjective amos, which would then lead to subjective measurements. But for this type of tchum measurement, they were using standardized. You would pick this up at Shabsi's, right? You would go ahead and you would show up. You'd ask them for the standard tchum rope. They would give you the standard tchum rope, and that was it. Sayyidina goes weiter. Amar Abasi, ein modedin ela bechevel shel afas kima. So it comes on Ravasi. Ravasi says that they would use an afaskima rope. So the Gemara says, my afaskima, what is afaskima? Rabbi Abba, nargila. Oh, Rabbi Abba says, it's a nargila rope. Right? Very helpful. So the Gemara says, thank you, my nargila. What are you talking about? What's a nargila? Rabbi Yaakov, dikla dechad navra. So Rabbi Yaakov says, I'll tell you what a nargila is. A nargila is a rope that's made from a palm tree with a single vine. Now, both sides, what this story meant over here is they would have a vine that would coil around the base of the tree, would go up off in the tree. What they would do is that vine, when you cut it open, had fibers. They would make ropes out of those fibers. So according to this version of the Gemara, they would make an afaskima rope, which was a nargila rope, which was a rope that was made of the fibers from the single vine that wraps itself around a date palm. Ikadamri, others have a different version of this discussion. My afaskima, what is an afaskima? Rabbi Abba Amar Nargila. Rabbi Abba said it's a nargila. Rabbi Yaakov Amar Dikla Dechad Navra. So we'll say in this second version, there is a machlokes as to what an afaskima is. According to one opinion, it's an argila, which whatever an argila is. And according to the second opinion, no, it's a rope made from this single vine that wraps around the date palm. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosha ben Hananya, Ein Lecha Lisheyafet Lemedida, Yoser Mishalshalos Shalbarzel. Rabbi Yosha ben Hananya said, there is nothing better than measuring, than what? Than an iron chain, literally, Yoser Mishalshalos Shalbarzel. Literally means chains made of iron, iron chains. Iron chains. Shabbos said, Bepashtos, the logic for that, the logic behind that is what? The logic behind that is they don't stretch, right? They don't stretch. You could pull them straight, you could pull them taut, and they won't stretch. Avamana said, not only that, but also if they sag, the sagging is much more visible. Much more visible. Avamana said, but what are you going to do? Shahari Amra Torah, Ubiyado Chevel Mida. What are you going to do, Rabbi Osei? Because when it comes to the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Zechariah, and the pasuk from Zechariah, this is in Zechariah's vision of the Beis Hamikdash, and in Zechariah's vision of the Beis Hamikdash, they were measuring it with chevel midah, with a rope, a measuring rope. So because we have a scriptural allusion to a measuring rope, therefore we do our measurements with a rope. Even though what? Even though one can make the cogent argument that a metal chain would be better. V'oksiv, aye, but 1 second. The pasuk also says in Zechariah, Ubiyad ish kana hamida. Aye, but again, the pasuk also says that what? In the same vision of Zechariah, that Zechariah saw a man measuring with a staff, which indicates, so what, again, if this is all about, if we're basing our ideas on the visions of Zechariah, so true, Zechariah on one hand saw a measuring rope, but Zechariah also saw what? Zechariah also saw a measuring... Yitzi. Mamish. It's like the walk of shame. Alright, so now... Alright, I'll ask you Mechila before Yom Kippur. Alright, so now... So now, the Gemara says, B'yad ish kanamita. But 1 second, on the other hand, right, he also has a vision that says... that he saw someone holding a measuring staff. To which the Gemara says, no. Haho litari. That measuring staff was used for something very specific. Rashi says, Lindot Rochav Hasharim. That was there to measure the width of the gates. So apparently, again, when measuring the width of the gates, which is a much more defined space, so that you can use a measuring staff. For longer areas, you have to use a rope. Okay? So we'll say, the Gemara is pointing out, even though, another scriptural allusion, even though one could have made the argument that a metal chain would have been better for measuring, since we have a scriptural allusion to this idea of a measuring rope, that's what we use to measure. Tani Rav Yosef thought, Shlosha Chavolim Hein. There are three different types of ropes. Shel Magog. Magog is a rope made of reeds. Shel Netzer. Netzer is a rope made of peeled willow branches. Vishal Pishtan, and ropes made of linen. So the Gemara says, these three ropes are used for different things. Shal Magog lepara. So often the reed rope was used for the para aduma. Look at Rashi Yosef for just a moment. Rashi says, Magog, Rashi says, Yonak Balaz, lefisha'ina mekabeles tuma, shikoma aseh para betara. So we'll say, since the para aduma has to be done in a total state of ritual purity, they would often tie the carcass. After they slaughtered, they would tie the carcass with reed ropes. So reed ropes or reeds can't be makabel tuma. Therefore, they would use them for aduma. Next, kavsua bechevel. I'm sorry, disnan kavsua bechevel hamagog. V'nasnua agav ma'arachto. They would go ahead and tie the carcass of the parah aduma with reed ropes, and they would put it on top of the pyre, on top of the pile of wood to burn it. Because remember, again, they would take the carcass of the parah aduma, burn it into ash. Because remember, the parah aduma, the ikar, was the ashes to mix it with spring water. Remember, this was not burnt in the Beis HaMikdash. You could actually go, by the way, today, they think they actually found the area where the Kohen used to burn the parah aduma. On Har HaZeisim, right opposite. You could literally, they excavated an ancient mikvah, which is strange. They're wondering, what is a mikvah doing on Har HaZeisim? Because Har HaZeisim was always a burial ground. Why would there be a mikvah in the middle of a cemetery? So archaeologists posit that this was the area where they used to take care of the parah aduma. Because the Kohen would go to the mikvah prior to doing anything, and literally the spot that they found there, the mikvah that they unearthed is literally right opposite where the Beis HaMikdash would have been. You would have been able to see right into the Beis HaMikdash. And we know the halach is that when doing the parah aduma, you have to be able to see into the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. It's amazing. You could literally stand there today. there's a monastery there today. But you could literally, they allow you to enter. You could literally stand right opposite the mikvah, and you could see where the Kohen Gadol did the parah aduma. It's amazing. So they would go ahead and they would tie the carcass of the parah aduma together with these reed ropes. Shal nitzarim. What would they use the rope of peeled willow branches for? The sota. They would use it for a sota. So remember, we'll say, sota is the woman suspected of adultery. And she's brought to the Beis HaMikdash. There's a whole process where they dissolve the parsha sota into the water. She drinks this water. And ultimately, the water itself tests her fidelity to her husband. So the Gemara says, this nan, and he quotes the Mishnah, the achakach mevi chevel ha-mitzri v'kosher l'mala midadeha. And because what would happen, they would take this, what they call the chevel mitzri, Egyptian rope, but the Egyptian rope was literally a rope made of peeled willow branches, and they would tie it literally on her chest, right underneath her shoulders, right underneath her armpits. The reason they would do that was because part of the sota process was they tore her dress. In order that she should not become totally disrobed, they would tie her clothing pretty much right over here, in order that it should not drop below. Shal pishtan, and what would they use a linen rope for? Limedida. So apparently the rope used for measuring the tchum was made of linen. Okay. Hayamodeid v'yegia. So if you remember again, the Mishnah said that if you are measuring the tchum, now remember I will say this case is easiest to illustrate with the guy, with the valley. So what happens, I'm coming out of the city, I'm measuring the 2,000 amos, and there's a valley in front of me. What's the problem? The valley is more than 2,000 amos. Excuse me. The valley is more than 50 amos wide, so I can't span it. So what do? I'm allowed to go to a more narrow part of the site. Let's say, just to keep it simple, I'm going to go to my left, to an area of the valley that gets more narrow. I'm going to span it there, and then what? Once I get across the valley, what do I have to do? I have to come back now and continue my straight line from my city. So the Gemara says, Miditani chozer lemidaso. The fact that the Mishnah says that after you span the valley, you then go back to your original line, mechladim enu yachal lahavlio, which sounds like if you can't go ahead and absorb the tchum, holech lamakum shiachal lahavlio, you go to a narrower part of the valley, umavlio. Then you again, Rabbi Sayonis, when I say mavlio, absorb the valley, what that means is I'm not measuring the walls, I'm not measuring the descent. I'm only measuring the floor of the valley, which I don't have to go into the valley to do that. I do that by simply measuring across the top of the valley. But so far, can I get me that? So the chozer, and I will say what happens, and then I simply come back to the part in the same line that I originally continue, that I originally started counting, and continue along that. Tanina lahadat harabana. So I'll say we actually quote this in a brisa. Hayamodet vihegia hamida legai. If I was measuring my tchum and I got to a valley, if I can go ahead and literally span the valley, absorb the valley with my rope of 50 amos, which is another way of saying that the valley itself, the opening of the valley is narrow, so I can measure across the valley with my rope of 50 amos. I do that. And if I can't do that, if I can't measure across the valley where I am right now, I can move to the right or to the left. I can go ahead and go to a narrower part of the valley, span the valley like that. And then I come back. But once again, you just have to keep track of the measurements. I can come back and continue the line that I originally started. However, if the valley, Rabbah said, mu'ukam literally means crooked. Crooked or twisty. Look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Rashi says, Imhaya gai mu'ukam, shahaya madrono mishupa, v'noach lihilof. So Rabbah said, Rashi quotes two opinions as to what this actually means. Well, if Rashi goes with the first approach, that means that that the slopes are traversable. We're not going to go with that right now. For now, what it means actually for our purposes over here, actually, we can go with either one. I'll tell you both of them. So the first approach, Rashi says, Mu'uka means, let's say the actual descent of the valley is traversable. It's traversable, meaning people could travel it. Or, possibility number two is that the tchum itself, the narrow part of the tchum, wraps around an opposite direction of the city. So also the problem is, if the narrow part of the tchum takes you to an opposite part of the city, then what happens? The measurement of the tchum becomes very confusing. Because as we're going to see, part of what we are concerned about is when people see you measuring the tchum. People draw certain conclusions and make certain assumptions based on when they see the actual measurements of the tchum happening. So for example, if I'm measuring in the east, for argument's sake, and the tchum goes ahead, and the valley's too wide for me to measure it over here at the east side, but the valley gets narrower on the west side, the Gemara is going to say there's a problem with going to the west side to measure the short part of the valley, because people won't realize that I'm measuring the east. What will they assume I'm measuring? I'm measuring the west. And that could lead to certain confusion that we'll speak about later on. Therefore, in that case, makdir va'ola, makdir v'yore. So we'll say in a case like that, what do? We pierce the valley. So we'll say, what's the case of piercing the valley? So piercing the valley, remember, is that case where we saw of measuring with the smaller four-amah rope, right? One's going to hold it. Well, we'll see how they're going to hold it. But they're going to essentially measure the slope in a series of smaller measurements of four amos each. So higia lekosel, if they reach a wall, I will say, we'll see what this means in just a moment, but let's say now you get to a wall and the wall is too high, you can't get over it. So ein omrim yikov akosel, we don't say we pierce the wall, elo omdo vaholechlo. I will say, rather, what do? We approximate. We approximate the thickness. Remember, we don't care about the height right now. What do we care about? The width, the thickness. So the Gemara says, if you get to a wall, we don't have to pierce the wall, rather, what do? You approximate. You approximate, right? Or you evaluate. No, not evaluate. Approximate. Estimate. You estimate what the width of the wall is, and you add that estimation to your tchum measurement. One second. Vahanan tanan. Mavlio. Vachoz lamidos. One second. That's not what we said in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we didn't speak anything about estimations or approximations. In the Mishnah, what do we talk about? It's about measurements. Right, so the Mishnah said, the Mishnah discusses the case of the coastal explicitly. And the Mishnah says that if you get to the coastal, you go ahead and you pierce it, which means you measure the actual area. Whereas it's not a kasha. Hasam necha tashmisha, hacha lo necha tashmisha. So the Gemara says we're dealing with two different cases. Look at Rashi. Pedinecha tashmisha. Rashi says, noach lihiluch kitsas. We're talking about a case of where you can go ahead and walk over the wall. Because we're talking more like a ruin over here. You could walk over the wall. Keep going. Mislake ta'asara b'sochar. Look at the next Rashi. The kosel zokof yoser midai. If the wall is literally standing erect and it's very tall, the chayvan delo chazi lehiloch, he can't walk over it. Ein gova shipuo ole limidas hatchum. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, if lemaisa, you could only go ahead, if you can't get over it, if you can't walk over the wall, that's a case where you say what? You pierce it. But if the wall is traversable, then Rabbah say we don't just go ahead and pierce it, rather what do? We also include the slopes. Because once the slopes are usable, then by definition, that goes into the tchum, that goes into the tchum measurement as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Well, this is very interesting. When do we say the makir, right? When do we say that lemaisa? We go ahead. Look at Rashi. Lo shanu the mekader elo the necha tashmishe shtenecha shemo ukam kol kach shein chot hamashkolos yorid kinegdus. So we'll say the Gemara is going to talk about something called a plumb line. So I guess those who are in building, understand this. I just learned this concept last night. Right? So what would happen? So when builders, well, I'm assuming this use some kind of similar idea today. Let's say you want to build something and you want to see if the wall is straight. So what would they do? They would go ahead and take a weight, attach it to the end of a rope, And like this, gravity will pull that weight straight down. Right? Still out. So what happens? So now, if you want to go ahead and you want to see if the wall is straight, so technically speaking, when you hang that plumb line down against the wall, what should happen? That weight should not touch the wall. If the wall is straight, it means then that the plumb line should be perfectly parallel to the wall itself. If when you put that plumb line down, that plumb line hits the wall, then what? Then what? Hopefully you kept your receipt from the contractor. Right? Because again, that means that your wall is not straight. So now the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, this is fascinating. So remember, both sides, you have to understand something. This whole idea of spanning, of mavlia, of absorbing the area of the valley, presupposes that what? That the walls are too steep. The walls of the valley are so steep that really no one's going down into the valley and coming back up. But if the walls, technically speaking, are usable, when I say the walls, you understand, I mean the walls of the valley, then what? Then meaning if they're sloped enough that people would go down, then suddenly we have to ask ourselves, maybe we should be including not just the floor of the valley, but what? But what? But the slopes as well, because they're traversable. So therefore the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, lo shanu elashin chota mashkol es yori kenegdo. We're only talking about a case where the plumb line does not go ahead and lay, it does not go parallel to the wall. Aval, chot hamashkolos yoreit kinegdo, modido medida yafa. So I'll say, listen to this. Look at Rashi's. Aval, chot hamashkolos yoreit kinegdo, sfaso zekufa, ma'od, she'in misrachekes, sfas chasi, tachtito, excuse me, mikineget saskovo dal ramos, Ein midas madrono memait midas atchub aide kidur el nichnas lesocho umodi karki iso medida yofe ke karka chaloka viyotzi lesaso mashli midas holik. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara wants to suggest, like Rabbi Yehuda says, the name is Shmuel. When do we say that we just measure the floor of the valley? That's only if what? That's only if the plumb line goes straight down, which essentially means what? That the walls of the valley are straight, although we'll see they don't have to be perfectly straight. We'll see they could even be a little bit slanted. When the plumb line goes straight down, so we'll say if the plumb line goes straight down, then what does that mean? That means that the walls of the valley are vertical. If the walls of the valley are vertical, then what? Nobody's going down there. In that case, then the only space you have to include when measuring the tchum is what? Is the actual floor of the valley itself. Is the floor of the valley itself. But if the plumb line does not go straight down, but the plumb line again slants out, then what? Then the walls are not vertical, they're somewhat horizontal. The moment that they become horizontal is the moment that what? That the slope is then traversable by pedestrian traffic. The moment that the slope is traversable by pedestrian traffic, then what? Then what? Then you have to include that in the tchum itself. Now we're going to have to discuss measurements now. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, within the tchum, within the tchum. No, correct. That's what the Mishnah was talking about, where you go out of your way in order to come back across, and then you come back. And then out of the way, you continue your line straight. You do not count the space that you needed to go out in order to come back. That is correct. So the Gemara goes back to the Gemara says, the Kama Omko Shel Gai. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. So what depth of a valley are we talking about over here? Rashi says, Kama Omko Shel Gai, the name of Mavlio Kishu Rachav Nun. Meaning, how deep does a valley have to be? How deep does a valley have to be in order to allow you to go ahead and just simply absorb the space across and not have to count the valley itself? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Apayim. Rav Yosef says 2,000 amos deep. Because we'll say again, apparently once it's 2,000 amos deep, then Lemaisa, look at Rashi, says Apayim Aval Yosef Mikan Afilu Yochol Lavlio In Mavlio El Mekader. We'll say at more than 2,000 amos, already it becomes its own significant area. At a more significant area, then Lemaisa it has to be measured on its own. Excuse me. Rav Yosef Apayim Esve Abaye. Abaye raises a kasha. Amuk kuf, berochav nun mavlil. But Abai comes along and says, no, even if, as long as it is within 100 amos deep, right? Amok kuf v'rochav nun mavliyo. Then you could absorb it. Which Rabbi Say sounds like what? That if the valley was any more than that, any more than either 100 amos deep or 50 amos wide, then what? It would have to less. It would have to be reckoned as its own reshus. Bim lave mavliyo. Sigmar says machlokes. Hu de amar ka achirim. He holds like the achirim. Disanya achirim omrim afilu amok alpayim. Achirim say even if it's 2,000 amos deep, v'rochav nun and 50 amos wide, mavlio, that can still be absorbed. Right, meaning that you, in that case, you can still just measure straight across, and you don't have to reckon the guy, the valley as its own independent rishus. Once it's more than those dimensions, then what? Then you have to go ahead and measure the valley separately and actually include that entire measurement in your tchum. Ikeda amri, others say, Amr Rav Yosef, afilu yoser, afilu yeser me alpayim. Rav Yosef says, even if the valley is more than 2,000 amos deep, you can still span it. You can still just go straight across and include that in the tchum. So, Keman, whose opinion does this reflect? Deloke Tanakama. It's not like the Tanakama, because the Tanakama held that it was 100 amos deep and 50 amos wide. Udeloke Achirim. And not like the Achirim, because according to the Achirim, the cap on the valley is what? It's 2,000 amos. Anything more than 2,000 amos, you have to reckon as its own rishos, which then what? You will have to fully measure. So the Gemara says, Hasam, Shein Chut HaMashkolos Yorid Kenegdo. Oh, what's the case over there? The case over there is where the plumb line does not go straight down. Hacha, Bechut HaMashkolos Yorid Kenegdo. Here is talking about a case where the plumb line goes straight down. So we'll say, if the plumb line goes straight down, then the Gemara wants to suggest, even if it's more than 2,000 amos deep, you don't have to measure the whole valley. You just go straight across. Why? Because if it's the plumb line goes straight down, then what? Then that valley is not usable. The walls of the valley are not usable. Masha'inkin, if the plumb line doesn't go straight down, that means there's a slope. And once there's a slope, what does that tell us? That perhaps, again, the walls or the valley is traversable. Once it's traversable, you have to measure the entire area, to which the Gemara says, V'chi ein chut ha-mashkolos yoreid kenegdo ad kama. So I'll say, interestingly enough, so the question is obvious. Is there any room? Meaning when we say that if the plumb line doesn't go straight down, then suddenly you have to begin to measure the slopes of the valley as well. So the shaila is, does that literally mean if the wall is any amount not straight, if there's any curvature, or does there have to be a certain amount of curvature that tells you that now this creates a slope that needs to be measured? To which the Gemara says, yes. Amra vimi dalid. The king Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel dalid. The Maisa dalid amas. I will say that the Maisa, we say that if the curve of the slope of the valley, the walls of the valley, is within dalid amas, then what? We still call that straight. So even if the plumb line doesn't lay flat, but curves out dalid amas, that's not enough of a curvature. Okay, forgive my English, right?
Good word. Slope.
It's not a good. Well, I'm going to use curvature. It's not enough of a curvature to call that now a traversable area, and therefore what? And therefore it's considered to be straight. And what does that mean for us? We'll say practically, it means that you only have to measure the actual floor of the valley and nothing to do with the slopes. Masha'inkin, if the plumb line would curve out, the curvature would be greater than dalet amos, then suddenly that makes it a traversable slope. Once it becomes a traversable slope, then what? You have to measure not just the floor, but the slopes as well. But obviously the nafkamina is great, because depending on how large the valley is, you may end up going ahead and what? You may end up using up your entire tchum just on the valley. Higia lahar, mavliya v'chozer lemidaso. So remember again, the Mishnah said, if you get to a mountain, so what do you do with the mountain? You absorb the mountain, which means what, Rabbi Osai? That we view the mountain as if it was flat. But remember, sometimes you can't get over the mountain, what do you have to do? You have to go around, same case as the valley. So what would you do? So now I get to the mountain, I can't measure across the mountain, so now I move to my left, I measure straight across, and then I come back and continue my line as if I went just straight through the mountain. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, lo shanu ela bahar, hamislaket yud mitoch dalid. This is only assuming that we're talking about a mountain, we'll say, listen to these measurements, that gains a height of 10 tefachim within dalet amos. So Rabbi Osai, the assumption is that that amount of slope, that's a steep slope, Right, look at Rashi this morning. Bin Slaki Yud Besorok Dalid. Habo Lilko Kamu Magbi of a Holich Motzi Yutfachim Gova Kodim Shiagir Lehiluch Dalid Amos. That the slope is so steep that you already get 10 Tfachim of height even within four Amos of space. So we'll say that's considered to be a steep enough slope that what? That people wouldn't walk over that. People wouldn't walk over that. So we'll say, what's the whole chaf? The idea is, remember, we want a non-traversable area. Non-traversable, it works better for tchum purposes. Why? Why? Because if it's not traversable, then I could ignore the slope. Then all I need to do is measure straight distance, which of course allows me to pick up additional tchum area. So Gemara says, okay, what's the size of a slope that makes it essentially non-traversable? Again, when we say non-traversable, it doesn't mean impossible. It just means people would choose probably to go around rather than to go up if it gets a height of 10 tefachim within Dalet Amos. However, the Gemara says, Aval Bahar HaMislaki, Yud Mitochei, but if you have a mountain that gains a height of 10 tefachim within 5 Amos, then what? Modido Medida Yofa. Then what do you have to do? You have to measure the slopes as well. You have to measure slopes as well. So Rabbi said the idea would be over there. Why? Because in a height of 10 tefachim within 5 Amos, then what? That slope is not as steep. Because that slope is not as steep, people traverse the area. Once people traverse the area, you have to measure everything.
So, 4 and 5.
I'm sorry?
Between 4 and 5.
So we'll see. That we'll see. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Rafuna Breid Rav Nosson, Masni Lakula. Rafuna Breid Rav Nosson had a different version of this. He actually taught this Lakula. Amar Rava, Lo Shanu Ella Behar Hamislaket Asara Mitoch Chamesh. So the Gemara says, Rava says, we only learn this halacha dealing with a mountain that gains a height of 10 tefachim within 5 amos. About Bahar Hamislaket Asara Mitoch Dalid Omdo Vaholechla. So we'll say Rava had a different version of this. According to Rava, the din of the Mishnah was dafka in a situation of what? Of a mountain that picked up a height of 10 amos within 5 tefachim. Because that's also, within 5 amos. 10 tefachim within 5. That's considered a steep enough slope. That's what? You don't measure the slopes. You just you absorb the area of the mountain straight across. But if it's so steep, that what? That it gets 10 tefachim of height within 4 amos of space, then what? Then lemaisa, we don't even measure it. What do we do? Omdo. What does omdo mean? Rabbi say?
Estimate.
We estimate. And estimation, we assume, even yields, gives you more space. Okay? Obevashle yitzichutz l'tchum. So Rabbi say the Mishnah said that lemaisa, you can go ahead and you could measure. Remember, if I want to span the valley, but the valley's too wide, it's more than 50 amos, so what could I do? I can move to the, I'm just saying left, just, it doesn't matter, left or right. I mean, when in doubt, always go right. Right, when in doubt, always go right. Right, so now again, let's say I'm going to the left. Here we go, you heard it here, I'm going to the left. Right, so I want to get to a narrower part of the valley, so what could I do? I can go to the left, come across, and then come back to my original line. So, but remember, what did the Mishnah say? That only assumes that what? That the narrower part that I want to go across is still what? Is still within my tchum. But if the narrower part is not within my tchum, that's when the Mishnah said you'd have to pierce it by measuring it down the slope. So the Gemara says, why not? My taima, Amrav Kahana Gezer Shamayomru Midas Tchum in Ba'alakan. There's a concern that people might say that this is part of the tchum. And also, what's the concern? Alan and I spoke about this yesterday. The concern is, let's say it's Sunday. So the people of the city are measuring the tchum on Sunday. We're doing this before Shabbos. What's going to happen? I'm sitting out in my backyard. I see the tchum measurers. They're going all the way over there. What do I automatically assume when I see people measuring the tchum? I assume that wherever they are is also part of the tchum. Therefore, lemaisa, if they're measuring somewhere over there, I still assume that that's called part of the tchum as well. And that could be a big mistake if they're outside of the tchum. So in order to avoid any kind of misunderstandings, you could only measure the value within the tchum itself. Weiter. So remember the Mishnah said, so therefore if you have a case where let's say you can't absorb the measurement of the valley. So let's say, for example, the valley is too wide at my present area, and I can't go ahead and get to a narrow area because the narrow area is outside of the tchum. So what do you do? So the Mishnah gave me this process that it called makdiro, you pierce it. So what does it mean that you pierce it? Atan Rabbanan, Ketan Mekadron, how do you pierce the area? Tachton Kineged Libo, Elyon Kineged Magalosa. So Rabbi Osai, we'll see in this case over here, what's going to happen? We're going to take a series of shorter ropes, and we're going to measure the slope. How do you measure the slope? You have one guy standing on a higher part, one guy standing on the lower part. The guy standing on the higher part is holding the rope right by his feet. And the guy standing in the lower part is holding the rope right by his heart. Amr Abaye, Naktinan, Ein Mekhajin Ela Bechevel Shel Arba Amos. And what are we using? We're using a rope that's made of four amos. So I will say again, I'm assuming everybody has a picture of this. I think I showed you this picture before. Right? See here, right picture, 215, good. See here, you're standing along the slope. And again, you're going to go ahead and you're going to measure, essentially, feet to heart, going all the way down the slope. You're going to put those measurements together. That's going to give you the measurement of the slope.
But so the amount is French.
Not with a four-armor rope. Not with a four-armor rope.
50, you're concerned if it's smaller, it might
stretch. Not, but because they are in such a short distance for each other, we're not concerned with that. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bar Avuha, Naktinon, Ein Mekandrin, Lo Be'egla Arufa, V'lo Ba'ari Miklat. So I will say, there's only one time or two times, that we don't go ahead and pierce anything. When don't we pierce something? So I will say again, the piercing is not considered to be an incredibly exact form of measurement. So the Gemara just says it works fine for tchum, but we would not employ this process by egla arufa. So what's egla arufa? Egla arufa is the decapitated calf. Remember, I said this is when you find a dead body in between two cities, and you need to measure the closest city to the corpse, because the closest city to the corpse is going to have to undergo this entire process of egla arufa. So the Gemara says over here, be'egla arufa, kishemodedin leida eitz ezohi akrova el achalo. Which city is closer to the corpse, or for that matter, Ir Miklat. So I will say Ir Miklat is a city of refuge. If someone killed accidentally, so the accidental murderer goes to an Ir Miklat. An Ir Miklat is a city of refuge. It protects the killer, the murderer, from the Gol Adam, from the avenger. Now, just like the Ir Miklat protects the murderer, the accidental murderer, so too the Tchum of the Ir Miklat also protects him. So the Gemara just says that because these two things, Mipnei Shein Shal Torah, because these are biblical ideas, we don't measure with this type of piercing. Look at Rashi. Mipnei Shein Mididasa Min HaTorah Hilchach Lo Misha'arin Al Bahu Midi Ela Modedin Harin V'Gayos Kikarka Chaloka. So I'll say, amazingly enough, in these cases, what do we measure? We measure everything. We measure the slope exactly as it is. So we'll measure the slope just as if it were a straight, because remember, we'll see actually in the next Mishnah, when you measure with this piercing mechanism, you actually end up saving some area. It's different than measuring it straight, as we'll see. But never, so this is only good with Tchumen, which is the Rabbanon. But anytime you deal with biblical measurements measure every single slope, just as they would measure straight area as well. So for Egla Arufa, or for that matter for Ir Miklat, we wouldn't employ any of these ideas of spanning or of piercing, rather we would just measure them straight. Alright, so we'll stop over here for today.
So in Ir Miklat, you get one curvature.